I want to thank all the labor unions here in Dane County that help keep SlysOffice.com up and going so you keep up to date. Whether it be the Madison Firefighters, Local 311, or the Madison Teamsters, Local 695, or our friends at Madison Teachers Incorporated. These are some of the most active local unions who organize, and constantly stand up for workers. Thank you from SlysOffice.com.
When you're looking for a new computer or need help with one you already own, call 231-8000 and Madison Computer Works will get things up and running for you. Madison Computer Works, computers that work for you.
Welcome to another podcast at SlysOffice.com, brought to you by our friends at the Operating Engineers, Local 139. Also, our friends with Madison Teamsters, Local 695, Madison Firefighters, Local 311, and Madison Teachers Incorporated. Peter Rickman from the Milwaukee Area Service and Hospitality Workers with us. Peter, thanks for coming on today.
Sly, thank you. As always, it is a pleasure.
Well, let's start talking about Ron Johnson.
Ooh, wait, I'm going to need another drink of coffee, brother.
Oh, I thought you said we're going to say a vomit bag.
No. I mean, it's still early enough in the morning, Sly, that I've only eaten 6 eggs. So
okay.
I should be fine.
Oh, good. I hope you had an omelet. I like omelets. So I got to tell you, I think he has surpassed Joe McCarthy.
I have no response to that, Sly, other than I agree. I concur. And the truth is, I think more and more people around Wisconsin are seeing Ron Johnson for who he is, what he is. And not just America's worst senator, not just America's dumbest senator, not just America's most anti-working class senator these days, but also an embarrassment to the people of Wisconsin in a way that McCarthy was and emerged to be over time on something where, you know, I think in the heat of the moment of the Red Scare, you know, people were willing to excuse that sort of behavior for some period of time. Tail gunner Joe McCarthy was certainly not a man who shares my politics or really any sort of point of view. But, you know, I think in retrospect, you look at someone like that and say, oh, he got caught up and ran with all this Red Scare business. Ron Johnson here is just so far outside the mainstream of what people are talking about when it comes to COVID-19 relief or the election that he sort of looks to be a bit of a nutter that might, you know, be actually dangerous to the lives and livelihoods of working people here in Wisconsin and nationwide.
At some point, he's going to make Saturday Night Live. Here is a clip of Ron Johnson yesterday talking about holding hearings to challenge the results of the election.
But you will not be a senator who tries to challenge the results on the Senate floor.
Obviously, depends what we find out.
I
need more information. The American people need more information. I'm not ready to just close and slam the book on this thing and go, okay, let's walk away from it. At a minimum, we have to explore these issues, these irregularities.
What irregularities? What is he talking about?
I don't know if you saw this yesterday, Sly, and I don't know how many of your listeners, check out what happens in the right-wing world, but at a Stop the Steal, a so-called Stop the Steal rally that the right-wingers in Wisconsin put on, Milwaukee Election Commissioner Robert Spindell, he said something along the lines of, and this isn't going to be an exact quote, but I'm grabbing the essence of what he said, which is that I haven't seen evidence that there wasn't compromise I haven't seen evidence there wasn't voter fraud. And if you can untangle the like logical conundrum of that, what he's saying is somebody has to prove a negative, which is, you know,
that would be antithetical to our system of justice.
right. You would imagine an attorney of Bob Spindell's alleged pedigree, a Harvard law man himself, would know that not only is that antithetical to our American system of jurisprudence, but it's farcical at best these days. And, you know, it's time for these right-wingers to grasp reality with both hands or all 8 tentacles or whatever it might be and recognize that Joe Biden won this election fair and square. Joe Biden won this election in the Electoral College at a margin larger than their patron saint, Donald Trump. They won a popular vote majority going away And, you know, while Joe Biden and I don't agree on every last thing, there's many areas of disagreement. As you recall, Sly, I was a Bernie guy in the Democratic primary. I think it's pretty clear that the American people have made a choice here. And so long as these right-wingers continue to articulate the Bob Spindel, Ron Johnson conspiracy theories, they're actively damaging our democracy. And it's unfortunate, it's not unexpected, but I think people of good conscience everywhere have to stand up to them and reject them and do so in a way that doesn't embrace any of this both-sidesism. This isn't something that Democrats do when they lose. It's not, you know, something that, we've seen in the past. This is, it's damaging our democracy, and it's endangering election officials and people who are public servants.
Well, look what happened. Happened to the poor manager of Serb Hall.
The man literally lost his life.
He literally lost his life. So I got to tell you, this is the first time where I have felt so personally affected by their attempts. They've been playing games with elections for a very long time to suppress the vote. But they're literally trying to throw out my vote, my personal vote.
Well, Claude, maybe we should hop in an SUV and, you know, drive up 151 to Oshkosh and see if we can have a conversation. Oh, wait a minute. That's right. He doesn't even live in Wisconsin anymore.
Yes.
You can't confront a guy like Ron Johnson about this. And by the way, he doesn't even respond to constituent contacts, whether it's about the fact that he remains one of the architects of the no COVID relief legislating program of the Senate Republicans. He doesn't respond to people about calling him out on these kinds of things. And it's one of the reasons he's so dangerous. He's unaccountable to the people of Wisconsin.
So let's talk about that. Some of the things that your organization is pushing for right now that people can actually make their voice heard as the as the negotiations go on in Washington, what should people do?
Well, I think that people should continue to communicate with Senator Johnson about unemployment benefits and other COVID relief. Just to set the table here, Sly, this pandemic hit America in a big way back in March. And immediately there were a number of bills passed and action taken by the Federal Reserve. You know, they mostly focused on things like backstopping the finance industry and Wall Street. And they did adopt some measures to help people, like a $1,200 stimulus check and providing an additional $600 a week in supplemental unemployment benefits from the federal government on top of what states were doing. And that helped people survive economically, and it helped us arrest that first wave of COVID-19, because quite literally we were paying people to stay home. That's what was needed. And as things have gone on, aided and abetted by folks like Ron Johnson, who continue to deny science and endanger people and healthcare workers who are dealing with the consequences on the front line, the Republican leadership in Washington, D.C., of course, in Wisconsin as well, has refused to take further action to help ordinary, everyday working people. They let the $600 a week supplemental unemployment benefits expire. They refuse to add an additional stimulus check to support working class people around the country. They allowed Donald Trump to get away with his farcical emergency benefits program for unemployment. And after allowing the $600 a week supplemental unemployment benefits to expire, now they are going to let the pandemic unemployment assistance, pandemic unemployment. There's so many different programs. I almost stumbled over the acronyms there. They're going to allow the other additional pandemic unemployment benefits programs expire, not on December 31st, the end of the year slide, but on December 26th, the day after Christmas. You know, Ron Johnson and Mitch McConnell are the Scrooge and the Grinch of Christmas 2020, in addition to being the architects of America's greatest economic catastrophe and public health disaster since the Great Depression and the Spanish flu of 1918. Ron Johnson is one of the people who is pushing the line that we don't need further legislative action on this. when super majorities of people, Democrats, independents, Republicans alike, are saying we need Congress to do something to help working people and to ensure that we finally beat this COVID-19 pandemic.
Here's what John Nichols writes. How would exempting employers from complying with the Occupational Safety and Health Act, the Fair Labor Standards Act, Title VII of the 1964 Civil Rights Act, the Americans with Disabilities Act, the Age Discrimination in Employment Act, the Worker Adjustment and Retraining Notification Act, and Generic Information Non-Discrimination Act help end the pandemic? That is what Ron Johnson and Mitch McConnell are pushing for. That is their main goal right now. It isn't keeping small businesses afloat in Milwaukee or Madison or Superior or Sheboygan. It's this. What does that have to do with the pandemic?
Well, you know, people like Ron Johnson and Mitch McConnell have gone to the U.S. Senate with the, I don't know if it's explicitly stated all that often, but certainly with the implicit intent based upon their tenures there, empowering corporations and subjugating the American working class to more control by the titans of finance and industry in their day-to-day lives, rooted in their reliance on bad jobs that pay less than living wages, that are becoming increasingly unhealthy and unsafe, that don't guarantee health care and a pension, and overall building a feudal economy. Feudal, not futile, feudal economy. This economy is doing, even in the pandemic, on the markers that folks like Ron Johnson and Mitch McConnell do, it's doing as well as it ever has been. When you look at the stock market, or when you look at where the 500 largest corporations and rich people are doing in terms of their balance sheets and their take-home income. So these guys, Ron Johnson, Mitch McConnell, want to craft an economy, and they'll use this moment if they have to, where working people are the feudal peasants subjugated to the lords of finance and industry and their political lackeys, the likes of which we are talking about right now. I don't know how exempting corporations and other employers from liability for the spread of COVID-19 in the workplace helps beat this pandemic. I can tell you a lot of different ways that it makes it worse. I do know that they're not doing anything to help the small businesses or the working class, because the best thing, the only thing that is going to help small businesses and working people, is finally beating this pandemic so that they can get back to operating the way they were prior to it. Although I think we should look at how we structure our economy differently and better coming out of the pandemic. Ron Johnson needs to join with Tammy Baldwin in supporting any legislative program that will pay people to stay home and that will ensure that we get the adequate vaccine distribution necessary to arrest this pandemic and beat it once and for all. Doing anything less than supporting $600 a week unemployment benefits and additional stimulus checks so that working people can be economically secure while we get our entire country public health secure is just an abdication of any sort of responsibility to the common good and to what everyday, ordinary, working-class Wisconsinites need. I don't know why Ron Johnson gets away with this, but the truth is now's the time for people like us, your listeners here, to stand up and call Ron Johnson out and flood his office with constituent communications demanding that he join Senator Baldwin in supporting the American Worker Holiday Relief Act. That's the legislation that Senator Tammy Baldwin has worked on putting forward, and it's a great bill that Ron Johnson should support. Again, it's called the American Worker Holiday Relief Bill. Pretty straightforward. It's about American workers. It's about holiday relief, stimulus checks, and supplemental unemployment benefits, what working people need so we can pay folks to stay home, beat this pandemic. Ron Johnson needs to be on it with Senator Baldwin, but he's got to hear from all of us, a flood of Wisconsinites demanding that he take action alongside our other U.S. senator here.
I'd like to see a focus group of people that voted for Russ Feingold in 2004, but ended up voting for Ron Johnson in 2010 and 2016, and ask them what they think of this. My guess is they don't really know. They're not really, they're busy, they're working, they're doing whatever. But, you know, how did we get here, Peter Rickman? That we had someone who, you know, right now would be a champion for everything you're talking about, and this is what we have.
You know, I think it's a complicated subject, and Sly, in a lot of ways, it's what you and I always talk about in the background when we're we're together here and on your show, or just shooting the breeze and talking to one another on the phone. I think that there's this unholy cocktail of right-wing politics, you know, a real right-wing politics mixing together with the, you know, corporate interests and the wealthiest 1% of America, you know, having a symbiosis that over the last 30, 40 years or so, they've been very interested in doing what I talked about before, which is, you know, creating a feudal economy, an economy, you know, for the 1%, although it's of and by the 99%. Yeah, they've looked to ship jobs overseas. They've decimated our manufacturing industrial production sector, which used to be a bastion of good.
Well, family. Ron Johnson has said we don't need to make things here anymore. He said it.
He and his ilk have combined that also with fiscal austerity. So cutting back the resources that government has to not only provide basic services, but to address social needs. And so then they cut those back. So not only does it impoverish and people and worsen their quality of life, but then they start to think, well, maybe government can't do anything right. This crowd, you know, in addition to deindustrialization and austerity, has also pushed for declining, eroding the power and influence of unions in a bunch of different ways, which means that there's just a tremendous imbalance of power between the working class and the boss class. And that's why no matter how much productivity grows, no matter how much wealth is produced in this economy, and we produce more of it than ever, and that's been ongoing for those 40 years, we get less and less of that because we don't have the bargaining power in the labor market, whether it's with one employer, one workplace, or one industry, or just everybody in a given community. We get less and less of what we produce because we don't have the power. So you bring those three things together, and then along the way, these right-wingers keep pushing a politics that is one of resentment and playing on, you know, some of the worst instincts that people have. And instead of there being an alternative politics articulating, I don't want to call it a return to the glory days of the 20th century, Sly, because frankly, our economy has changed, our society has changed. But instead of there being a politics that talks about, family-sustaining jobs and a common good cooperative commonwealth that takes care of people's health care and education needs and their retirement security, instead of there being that kind of politics that addresses what working class people need broadly, black, brown, and white, urban, suburban, rural, you've got politicians running around who have defined the left of center as being some coterie of simply virtue signaling and wokeness,
right,
without tackling the needs of what ordinary, everyday working class people need, and naming names for the Ron Johnsons of the world, the politicians, but also the Jamie Dimon, the titans of finance who built this economy for their benefit.
There's a reason you'll never see an Amazon package at my house. We're going to take a break. Peter Rickman with us here at SlysOffice.com.
Similar to a well-tuned automobile, a guitar requires the same level of attention to perform at its very best. No matter how expensive your guitar may be, we will treat you and your instrument with the utmost respect. Call 920-723-1733 or visit jeffsguitar.com. Jeff's Guitar Clinic in Fort Atkinson. We love guitars.
The attorneys at Gingras, Thompson, and Wachs have had the honor of receiving numerous awards for their work both in and outside the courtroom. But just as important as receiving accolades for being skilled attorneys, it's equally important to give back to the community in which they live and work. If you want a personal attorney that can help you in so many different areas, they've got them. They're in Eau Claire, Madison, Milwaukee, and Waukesha. They're easy to reach. GTWLawyers.com. That's GTWLawyers.com. We're back with Peter Rickman, SlysOffice.com, brought to you by our friends at Madison Computer Works and also Jeff's Guitar Clinic. Your union represents many of the workers with the Milwaukee Bucks. Tell us about what's going on with the NBA right now and the precautions they're taking.
Well, it's interesting. As you were saying that, I just got a call coming in from the Bucks president to I think finalize some of the arrangements for workplace health and safety at the arena as the NBA starts their games back up.
Wait a minute, you're putting Peter Fagan on hold for me? Wow.
Of course I would fly. I mean, come on. There's journalistic integrity, at stake here on your part. I can't let you down like that. No, and the truth is, Sly, the NBA coming back to its games in its arenas outside the bubble in Orlando has taken seriously the need for workplace health and safety. And, they've done so in a way that's not only looking out for their multimillion-dollar players, but also the folks who operate the venues. And I want to illustrate for you something, Sly, and particularly for your listeners. I think you know this. Maybe not all of your listeners do, although I know you have a great working class listener base. Many union members tune into things like your show pretty regularly. The dynamic here is such that when the NBA required all of its teams to figure out testing for anyone who will be working in the arena, in the arenas, and those franchises look at how they're going to do this, because there's a union contract in place, because these folks have a union, about 1,000, 1,200 folks at the Pfizer Forum in downtown Milwaukee, their management came to us and said, hey, we have an obligation to talk with you about how this is going to go. Let's do it. And I think that's sort of exotic to a lot of people who've never been around unions, that the employer management would come to a representative of workers and talk about how this is going to go, where they're equals at a table saying, this is an issue that we need to address. Management isn't going to make a unilateral decision without factoring in what working people who make this thing work have to say. In fact, we're going to decide on it together. We're going to troubleshoot and problem solve together. And we were able to do that relatively quickly with the Milwaukee Bucks because of that union contract and because of what it means to have a union, what the law requires where there's a union in place. And we've been able to negotiate some really excellent things that are getting finalized here today to not only protect the safety and health of the workers in their workplace, but to ensure that it isn't something that falls on the backs of workers to look out for health and safety for themselves and one another. And it's really an example that, frankly, could be taken to even our hospitals and nursing homes, the workplaces for the frontline essential healthcare workers. You don't see much out there about those places having free testing or ensuring that people are paid for their time involved, or saying if you're going to lose work because, in fact, you might have tested positive from something that's going on in your workplace, that you're not going to lose out on your hours, your wages, and benefits. So it's a really interesting contrast that you've got to a professional sports league saying, we're going to take workplace health and safety seriously, and we're going to do so in the interest of everybody. And we're going to, in this case, where there's a union in place, workers are going to have a voice in what that looks like and how that plays out. And it's going to be to their benefit. And I think it's just a really stunning contrast with the way folks in the healthcare industry in Wisconsin, certainly it's what I know, have done. And it's pretty stunning given that there's a bill in front of the Wisconsin legislature called the Healthcare Heroes Act that would do just these kinds of things. It's pretty wild when Republican politicians in Wisconsin and healthcare corporation executives are lagging behind where professional basketball executives are when it comes to workplace health and safety and taking care of their workforce.
I wonder how many Americans have died because they have to go to work and their employer didn't make the proper precautions. I mean, the story out of Waterloo, Iowa, of the meatpacking plant, Tyson, I believe it's pork, with the upper management taking bets on what percentage of their employees would get COVID. And it was one of the most disgusting things I've ever read in my life. But just think how many people have died because employers didn't take the proper precautions.
You know, I'm sure someone has calculated that number or tracked it, and it's revolting, it's disgusting, and unfortunately, Sly, it's not just because of this pandemic. It's because of what the power imbalance is like in the American workplace and in our economy. What do you think would have happened if we had a national mandate for? for paid sick time, so that no one would have to make the choice between going to work because they need the paycheck to make rent at the end of the month, and they're worried about housing and healthcare and homelessness and hunger, or if they could stay home and take care of themselves and their family without risking any of that. I mean, we could do that in Wisconsin. We could do it federally, but that's just sort of our day-to-day experience, pandemic or otherwise. Imagine what this could have been like if, for example, we had a real universal healthcare program so that people could get treatment and they could get tested without worrying about what are the consequences going to be if I test positive and I need to get treatment. There are so many social maladies, so many ills of American society that have been exposed by this pandemic that the only real legitimate response is to come out of this with a resolve for how to build a more just and equitable and decent society, how we ensure that our government plays a constructive role in preventing these pandemics, but also taking care of working class people. And it shouldn't take a pandemic to put workplace health and safety and social benefits like paid sick time and health care on the agenda. But by God, if we come out of this without an offensive on that front for working class people, led by working class people, shame on us. And so I think we have to take this moment as one that agitates us into further action around building the kind of country that I think the working class deserves. We've built the world's most productive and wealthiest economy. We deserve to have these kinds of protections in a pandemic and otherwise.
You know, it's amazing. I always thought with the tribalism in America and the chasm that's going on, the way to pull America back together would have been something horrific, like a Great Depression or a World War. So far, this pandemic has not pulled the tribalism together into a unified, cohesive, we're in this together. It just hasn't. And I find that very disheartening for the future.
Well, you know, Sly, don't let those right-wing agitators and, you know, the media personalities of the right and their bloviating let you believe otherwise. There's super majorities of people in this state and this country actually do want us to pull together and have our government lead the way in delivering things like health care for all and the economic support for people impacted by this pandemic. People in Wisconsin and nationwide want to see hazard pay and guaranteed sick time, healthcare coverage, workers' compensation for frontline healthcare workers. You know, I was looking at a poll the other day that was done by a research outfit here in Wisconsin about exactly that. You know, should we take care of the frontline healthcare workers who are risking their lives in the hospitals and the nursing homes and home care settings and the first responders as well, too? Because there was a bill drafted, State Representative Robin Vining worked on this with us this past year. And so when this was polled on, it was really amazing to see that it wasn't just the super majority of people who support taking care of frontline healthcare workers. The bill is the Healthcare Heroes Act. It would provide pandemic pay for frontline healthcare workers, guaranteed first dollar healthcare coverage for folks, paid sick time and workers' comp coverage for healthcare workers. It wasn't just that a supermajority of people in Wisconsin supported that slide. It was actually over three-quarters of the population. So it turns out folks actually do want to pull together, but there are politicians and profiteers, frankly, people who profit quite literally off of this sense of a divided polity that are consistently stoking the flames of division. And the reality here is that the people of Wisconsin, the people of this country, want to see positive, constructive action. And that's why it's so critically important that folks who do agree with this approach speak up and speak out. And don't let those dividers, don't let those naysayers be the ones that carry the day. We are the working class majority here in this state and in this country who are absolutely intent on ensuring that our government delivers for people in this pandemic and beyond. Folks are with us. So we need to lead the way and speak up and speak out, not hide in our corners and say, woe is us, we're so alone. But instead to get out front saying, I know you're with me. Come on, let's go raise holy hell. Let's raise a ruckus about this.
Quick question before we go. State Representative Katrina Shanklin posted a map of Wisconsin by municipality and what parts of the state have gotten more Republican from 2012 and what parts have gotten more Democratic. It's a frightening map. It's really dispiriting. If you could sum up the lack of success Democrats had in rural Wisconsin and even some of the smaller mid-sized cities, what would it be?
Well, first of all, let me say, Sly, thanks to Katrina and others like her around the state for continuing to represent working-class Democratic values outside our big cities. You know, we in Wisconsin, I think, for a long time saw Democrats continue to have success in rural areas well after that ceased being the case in other places around the country. So this seems like a relatively recent phenomenon, and because it's happening all at once, it seems very intense. But the truth is, in Wisconsin and nationwide, Democrats have largely not taken up and articulated, and by that I mean put at the heart of their election campaigning and put at the heart of their governance an agenda that appeals to that working class majority I just referenced in urban areas, even in suburban areas, and in rural areas. You can imagine an agenda, and I can talk about this till the cows come home, no pun intended here, but we can talk about an agenda that unites working class people in urban and rural areas around making work pay again, around guaranteeing health care, around ensuring that there's paid sick time for folks. It's sort of a populist, left of center workers agenda that takes seriously the struggles that working people face no matter where they live, in a dying post-industrial rural community or in, you know, a glimmering downtown big city kind of thing. We all have the same kinds of concerns, we of the working class, and we could be a governing and electoral majority for Democrats. But Democrats have to take that kind of agenda and put it right at the heart of what they're saying politics is about. Elections should be about how do we make this economy work for working people? How do we ensure that ordinary, everyday working class people can live a decent and dignified life from their workplace to their neighborhood to their home life? And I think that that's one of the reasons that we've seen an utter collapse of Democrats in rural areas, Democratic voter participation and Democratic candidate success in rural areas, because I think folks in rural areas have come to a conclusion that they don't think Democrats really care about them and what matters in their day-to-day life. So some folks stay home or they say, well, I'll go with the Republicans here because at least they're talking about, you know, this other thing that I'm interested in. So I think that, you know, the rural collapse isn't about outreach so much. I think people use that term and say, oh, we just reach out to folks in rural areas, we'll do better. Baloney. You're going to reach out to them and say what? You actually have to have something that they want to talk to you about. And so I think this is imperative that Democrats in Wisconsin and nationwide, because politics is so very nationalized now. It's not just going to be about what your local Democrat says or does. Democrats in Wisconsin and nationwide need to come together around an agenda of what delivers for working class people, what tackles the problems, what draws the lines between working class people and those who are holding us back, and say, we're going to be on your side and we're going to fight for this. And that's the entire reason we exist in this political arena. I think we'll start to see some stronger results for Democrats when they start doing that. But this isn't a one election cycle.
No,
this is not for 2022.
No, we almost need, we do need someone like Stacey Abrams, only somebody from the rural part of the state, just focused on organizing and coming up with a policy agenda that you can build around that organizing and keep it up for years. Because as far as I'm concerned, Stacey Abrams is the hero of 2020.
Well, I think that the good news here for us, Sly, is that we don't need to spend a ton of time fashioning what the agenda is. We know what it is.
Yeah.
It's balancing the power between workers and bosses. Let's
right.
put workers at the table to negotiate over what's going on in their work lives. Let's pass a minimum wage law that ends starvation wages and says 15 is just a beginning. Let's work on delivering health care by right, child care and education by right. Let's guarantee income security and retirement. Let's ensure healthy and safe workplaces. There's a host of these things, and in fact, you can articulate it in some snappy slogans and phrases. But we need Democrats to take that, embrace it, and run on it, not just put it on their lit and say, look at my checklist.
Yeah, don't check off the box. Exactly. All right, Peter Rickman, Milwaukee Area Service and Hospitality Workers, thanks for coming to Sly's office.
Always a pleasure. Thank you for having me, Sly.
Sly'sOffice.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.